Hello, family. Welcome to another episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. My name is Matthew Curtis. I'm excited to be with you again today on this episode, number 16. And I encourage you, if this is the first time you're joining us, go back to episode 1 and listen to all the way through 15, Revelation of the Word of God of Spiritual Things. It's progressive. One thing builds upon another. And so you can't expect to receive all that God has for you today in this episode if you haven't received the revelation and light and wisdom and understanding from all the previous episodes. So again, go back, catch up with us. We're going to discover and uncover foundations of biblical truth today. As the Lord helps us, we're going to put one hand on the love of God, the other hand on the faith of God, and we're going to learn together, as the Holy Spirit helps us, how to apply the Word of God to our everyday lives in Christ. Let's go over our foundational scriptures for this episode, and then we'll pray. We're going to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. In the King James Version, the Bible says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Praise the Lord. "He that believeth shall not make haste." In a previous episode, we discussed how our Heavenly Father, when He created the earth, He laid the foundation of the earth. What is that foundation? It's the bedrock of the earth. If you remember, we had a mini geology lesson and we learned what bedrock is. Bedrock is the tough, solid rock that lies beneath the loose material on the earth's surface. It's like soil or sand, clay, gravel. It's the firm foundation that everything else rests upon. Geologically speaking, bedrock is unweathered, continuous rock. It can be kinds of rock like granite, basalt, limestone, sandstone, just whatever the underlying geology is in that particular location of the earth. Practically speaking, builders love bedrock. Why do they love bedrock? Because it's stable. You can build skyscrapers on it, bridges, dams, all of those are anchored into it. Why are they anchored into it? So they don't sink or shift. So going back to Isaiah 28, 16 now, when Isaiah prophesied that the Lord, our Heavenly Father, is laying in Zion, which in this case, amongst other things, can be a representation of God's people, of His church, He's going to lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. How many know who the Father is talking about? He is talking about Christ, the solid rock, the foundation of the body of Christ, and also of us individually. That brings us to our next verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read in verses 9 through 11. This is still the King James Version. "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. We love our sure foundation, the Lord Jesus. "No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, our Lord Jesus Christ." How many know that He is the most sure, the most solid, the most strong foundation that we or anyone can build their lives upon? And so we must remember this. Christ is the foundation of the church of the living God. Christ is also the foundation of our individual lives in Him. The scripture says in verse 9 that we are God's building. So all of us together make up the temple of God, make up the church. But we are individual parts of the body of Christ. We are individual parts of the temple of the living God. Individually, we house the Holy Spirit. Our physical bodies house our spirit man. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. And the Holy Spirit lives within us, not just in our body, but he is one with us in our spirit man, just as Christ is in God. I know I'm being repetitive, but it is very important to always have this in the forefront of our thinking. Jesus is the bedrock of our life in him. Jesus is the foundation of our life in Christ. When we accepted Jesus as the Lord of our life, when we confessed him with our mouths, when we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we were saved, gloriously saved. And in that moment, Christ became the foundation of our life. Christ became the bedrock of our life in him. Just like the bedrock is the foundation of the earth, planet earth, Christ is the foundation of every believer who confesses and believes in him. Christ is the bedrock. And lastly, let's go to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read in verses 13 through 18. This is also the King James Version. And then we'll pray. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise the Lord! What a famous passage of Scripture. And what an amazing revelation that God gave Peter. Our previous episode was titled "Hearsay or You Say." How many remember it's important what you say about Jesus, not what others say about Jesus? What others say about Christ may be conjecture. It may be philosophical thinking. It may be religious tradition. It may be surmising. It might be opinions. It might be assumptions about who Christ is. But there is no replacement for the true revelation that comes from our Heavenly Father. When God the Father reveals to us who Christ is, and when we mix faith with that revelation and act on that revelation, then Christ becomes what God revealed to us. We could not confess that Christ was the Lord of our life and believe in our heart until we were preached to that Jesus came, that he was born of a virgin, that Jesus lived a perfect life, and he took our sicknesses and carried our pains. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Spirit, soul, and body, the sin of the whole world was laid upon the sacrifice of Jesus, and it was nailed to the cross. And we were buried with Christ in the grave, and God raised Christ from the dead, and Christ ascended victoriously from the dead with the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up us also with him. Hallelujah. And that made it possible for us to become saved today, 2,000 plus years later, even though Jesus died all that time ago. Today, when we put our faith in Christ, when we put our faith in what Jesus did and we confess it and mix faith with it, Jesus the Savior becomes the Savior of our life. We are made a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. A miracle takes place in our spirit man, and we are no longer the same. We were an old sinner, but now we are a new person, a new creation. We are a saint and not a sinner. We are washed. We are clean. We have been made holy and righteous, just like the Lord Jesus. Praise God. That's shouting ground right there. But none of that could have been possible unless we had a preacher preach that to us, unless the Holy Spirit revealed that to us. And then when we acted on it, it was possible. And what we believed about Jesus as a result of the revelation the Father gave us, that's what took place in our spirit. So if we believed in our heart and confessed that Jesus is our Savior, then Jesus became our Savior. But what if we believe in our heart and confess that Jesus is something else? Could it be possible that Jesus becomes to us what we believe in our heart and confess him to be? Could Jesus become our healer? Yes, he can. Could Jesus become our protector? Yes, he can. Could Jesus become our provider? Yes, he can. Jesus will become for you what the Father reveals him to be for you. And when you mix faith with that and believe in your heart that Jesus is that to you and for you, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus will do what the Bible said he will do for you, then you will see the results of Christ being that for you. Healer, provider, protector, leader and guide, and so much more. And all these experiences with him, all these face-to-face encounters with the Lord Jesus is what makes up the bedrock of your life in Christ. It is what makes up that firm foundation of your life as a Christian. Your encounters, your experiences with Jesus as a result of the Father revealing him to you, and your faith in him and your love for him, this is what lays the bedrock of your foundation in Christ. And we're learning in this episode how to build your foundation. We're getting into what God has laid on my heart today to minister to you more about this subject. But before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we've established the foundation of these scriptures. And before we say one more word, Father, we recognize that we have no understanding unless you reveal the revelation of the word to us. Our smarts, our intelligence isn't enough. If we've had a college education all the way up to a PhD in a particular topic, it's still not enough. Lord, we ask you to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we would see and know what's the hope of your calling in the word for this episode today. Father, we ask you for answers to questions. We ask you for solutions to problems. We ask you to impart to us divine revelation and grace that makes us free. Hallelujah. And Father, when we hear your word, when we see what to do by your grace, we'll act on it. We won't just be hearers only, but we'll be doers of your word, because we know it's the doers that see the harvest, that see the fruit. In Jesus' name, we believe that we receive. We thank you for it. Speak to every heart today, Father. Amen. Let's remind ourselves about what we're talking about. Jesus is the bedrock. He is the foundation of our life in him. And it's our revelation of Jesus, our face-to-face encounter with him, that lays the bedrock, that lays the foundation of our life in Christ. This foundation is not loose soil. It's not clay. It's not sand or gravel. It is a raw material mass, and that's why we can build upon him. And even if the winds blow, even if the waves and the water, the flood beat against the house, even if the earth shakes, nothing can cause our house of faith to fall. If our families are rooted and grounded and founded upon the firm foundation, then no challenge, no circumstance can cause our family to fail and to fall. If our health and healing and wholeness, spirit, soul, and body, is built upon the solid rock of Christ, then no matter what comes my way, no matter what sickness or symptom or disease that would try to attack my body, I know nothing can make me fall. Nothing can make me falter. Nothing can destroy my life in him, spirit, soul, or body, because my life is founded on Jesus Christ. All right, Let's go back to verse 18 there in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and let's look at a couple of Greek words. Jesus said, "And I say also unto you that you are Peter." Now this word Peter, in Greek, it's the word Petras. And upon this rock, that's the Greek word Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a sweeping statement that Jesus has just made. These two Greek words, Petras and Petra, contain the revelation that we need to see for this episode. Jesus did not say that he was building his church on Petras. As we discussed in a previous episode, if Peter is the rock Jesus is talking about that he is going to build his church upon, it would be a very wobbly building. Petras is like a stone that you can pick up and throw at someone. When the Israelites would pick up stones to stone someone with in ancient biblical times, the word for that in Greek would be petras. It could also be as big as a boulder, but nothing bigger than that. Peter is not the rock that Christ built his church upon. Petra is what Christ built his church upon. Petra is bigger. Petra is not a stone. It's not just a general rock. It's not just a boulder. Petra is bedrock. What is a representation of Petra? What can we look at to give us a picture of what Petra is? One of the first things that comes to mind as a student of history, I think all Bible scholars or those who endeavor to study the Bible in depth become a student of history to some length. But one of the first things that I think of when I think of Petra is the city called Petra. Petra is an ancient city carved right into the rose-red cliffs of southern Jordan. Side note, if you've never seen pictures of Petra, I highly encourage you to go and type it into a Google search engine and look up pictures of what it looks like. It was the capital of the Nabataean kingdom around the 4th century BC, and it became a wealthy trade hub because it sat on the crossroads of the incense, spice, and silk trade route. You've got to think of it as a desert Wall Street, but with camels instead of stock tickers. So the most famous site in Petra is Al-Khazneh, and that translates to the treasury. It's a massive temple facade carved right into the cliff face. Now, despite the name, it wasn't actually a treasury. It was likely a tomb for a Nabataean king. But the whole city is filled with rock-cut architecture, water channels, elaborate tombs. They engineered advanced irrigation systems that made this desert area a valley that bloomed. It was pretty clever. But anyway, Petra has possible ties to Edom. Some scholars suggest it could have been linked to the people of Esau in the Old Testament. By Roman times, it was absorbed into the empire, and later it declined as the trade routes shifted. Earthquakes even damaged the city. Eventually, it was abandoned and lost to the Western world until it was rediscovered in 1812. So, Petra isn't just stone walls, okay? It's this wonder of how people carved this entire city out of continuous stone, all right? And when you look at it, it's just all stone. That is Petra. That is bedrock. That's what Jesus is talking about. And then we also referenced in another episode, Petra as in the Rock of Gibraltar. It's this massive cliff face, this jagged bedrock piece that's protruding out of the ground. And you can go look up pictures of this. That's Petra. So when Jesus said, "On Petra, I'm building my church, on this rock, I'm building my church," he wasn't talking about an individual piece of rock. He's talking about the bedrock, the foundation of the earth. That is the foundation for the church. Now, we know from 1 Corinthians 3 that Christ is that rock, but the revelation comes as a result of seeing Peter's conversation with Jesus. You see here in verse 17 that Jesus said, "You're blessed, Simon, because people didn't reveal this to you. The Father which is in heaven, He's revealed this to you. What He showed you, what He uncovered for you, what He made plain for you, that revelation, that is Petra. Christ being the Son of God, Christ being the one whom God sent to save the world, and putting our faith in Him and confessing Him as the Lord, that is Petra. When you confess Jesus as Lord of your life, and you mix faith with that confession in your heart, and you believe that God raised Him from the dead, that is Petra to you. And that is how God will build His church in you. That is how God will build up your life in Him and on Him. And it starts with this face-to-face encounter with Jesus, this experience with Jesus, where God reveals Him to you, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ is your Savior, that Christ is your Lord, that Christ is your healer, that Christ is the love of God revealed unto the world, that Christ is made unto us righteousness, holiness, sanctification, that Christ is made unto us our leader, our guide, our protector. This entire experience and more is Petra. This is the bedrock of every individual's life in Christ. And what did Jesus say as a result of this rock or this foundation being the foundation of His church? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter what the enemy tries, no matter what weapon the enemy would form against the church and against us as individual believers in Christ, his weapons shall not prevail. His formations, his schemes, his traps, his lying, his plots and ploys, his tricks and thievery, destruction, stealing and killing, shall not prevail against the church. And if you believe this and mix faith with it, it shall not prevail against you, the believer in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, we've come a long way to get to this point. We've established a lot of foundation, but it's necessary for us to take the time to really establish this in the heart of every believer and see it from the scriptural perspective, that the revelation that God gives us about Jesus, that is Petra, and that is how we build our foundation. So how do we apply this today and every day? We must hunger and thirst after more revelation about who Jesus is. If you want to build successfully your foundation in Christ, you must hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteousness found in Christ, the righteous things, the right things that are found as a result of Jesus. What was accomplished in Jesus's life, His crucifixion and death, His burial, His rising from the grave and ascension to God? What was left to us as an inheritance in Christ? What is Christ to us and for us? What has Jesus already done for the body of Christ? What has Jesus overcome for us? What has Jesus provided for us? Who are we in Christ? What are the foundational elements that Jesus taught for the body of Christ? All these things and more is learned in our face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And the more we get to know Jesus, and the more we hunger for Him and see Him, the more that we get to know Him in His reality, the more we genuinely develop a passionate relationship with Christ, the more we draw closer to Christ, the more we know about God's word and increase in the knowledge of God, the more that God is able to reveal to us about Jesus. This is tantamount to our foundation being built in Him. Experience and face-to-face encounter with Christ after experience and encounter with Christ. One thing upon another, and our foundation is being built and being built and being built. The goal is to know Him. The goal is to know Jesus. The goal is to know your Savior, to know your foundation. He is the rock. He is the rock. He is the rock that God builds His church upon. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all we have time for today. We love you, Jessica, and I pray for you always. Before we leave today, let me say this prayer over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, as every listener has heard this word, I ask you to activate it on the inside of them. Show them how they can know Jesus more. Show them how they can hunger for Him more. Stir up their love. Stir up their affections for Him, Father. Reveal to them steps that they can take, Lord, to gain more understanding in the written word, to gain more understanding and experience with knowing Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah. We speak over them. The blessing of the Lord be upon them. The favor of God surround them. And something good happen for each one this week in Jesus' name. Once again, we love you. We'll see you in the next episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast.
Hi, my name is Jason. And all of us at the Kingdom Inheritance Ministries family would like to thank you for tuning in. If you received from this message and you're inspired to give us your testimony, please send us an email at connect@kim.faith. That's connect@kim.faith. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 1513, Branson, Missouri 65615.